thinking about the message. I could ask the question, is there a place on earth which God claims especially as his own? Surely that would be Pensacola, right? Or maybe Pennsylvania. No, neither one. Maybe Rome. No, not Rome. Would God even dare to do such a thing? To claim this town is my town? A town as his town, but he did. And why would he do that? Why would he choose a place on earth? Why would he do that when he has heaven? Why would he choose a place on earth as his own among men? But he did. It was a place in the promised land. It had no seaport. It had no important trade route going through it. It had no outstanding natural resources. It wasn't a large city, but he chose it as his own. He chose to place his name there. He built his temple there, and he came and dwelt among men there. In that temple, in that city, God with man. And when we want to look at that city this morning, the title of our message is Jerusalem, the City of the Great King. And we want to look at it in five parts. We want to look at it as Jerusalem, the City of God. Jerusalem, its history. Jerusalem, its fall. Jerusalem, its future. And Jerusalem, City of the People of God. Jerusalem. We all know that there is a town, there is a city, far, far away from here, that is called Jerusalem. It still exists today. City of God. Jerusalem, the City of God. God told the children of Israel that he was going to choose a city as his own. And there is where he wanted them to bring their sacrifices and observe his feasts. It says, the city that the Lord thy God shall choose. That's eight times in the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy 26, verse 2, it says, and it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And it continues to talk about what you should do with that sacrifice. But it talks about that place which the Lord thy God shall choose to put his name there. It says, there, I want you to go to take your sacrifices, to take your offering, to take your praise, to have to meet together and to worship me. There's where I want you to go. It was many years before God revealed where that place was. It was during the reign of David. He chose Jerusalem as the place where his temple should be built. And Solomon, in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 3, Solomon, in his prayer at the dedication of the temple, I guess this wasn't actually part of the prayer, but just before the prayer, and it says, and the king turned his face, talking about Solomon, and the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to dwell, to build an house on, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. And here is Solomon at the dedication of the temple, which was, of course, the house of God. And he says, God now has revealed his will. He's revealed his choice, and Jerusalem is the place that God has chosen. Further down in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 18, in his prayer, Solomon says, "But God will in very deed dwell with," he asks this question, "but will God in very deed dwell with men on earth?" He had built a house for God. And he asked this question, yes, "Will God in very deed dwell with man on earth? Behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much more this house which I have built?" But that is where God came, and he dwelt there in the Holy of Holies. And as Solomon prayed, the Spirit of God came down and it filled that house with glory. And Solomon continued on in his prayer in verse 38, and he said, "If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captive and pray unto their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens." It says, if they get carried away captive, and they turn back to me, and they pray toward the city, and toward this land, and toward this city, and toward this house, then hear their prayer. See, God had them focusing on that. And you say, why? But God had them focusing on that. And we see Daniel in Babylon. He was, that had happened to him. He was carried away out of Jerusalem, away from the temple. And Jerusalem was destroyed. And it was desolate. And there was no one there. And it looked like there was no future. And there was Daniel, and he was a captive in the land of Babylon for 70 years. And yet he, when the king of Babylon said, "You shall not pray to any god, but to me," Daniel opened his window toward Jerusalem and toward the temple. There was no temple there. There was no city there. But he opened his window toward the temple and toward Jerusalem, and he prayed to that place, toward that place, to God. Because he believed that was the place. He didn't have his confidence in Babylon. He had his confidence in the God that had chosen Jerusalem. And he believed there was a future for Jerusalem because God put his name. God put his name there and said, "This is my city." We too live in Babylon. But our hearts need to be to God and to his people and believing in his promises and believing in his city. God defended that city in the days of Jehoshaphat. When they came up against that city, the heathen, came up against that city, and God utterly destroyed them. He defended that city during the days of Hezekiah when they wanted to destroy Jerusalem, and Hezekiah looked to God, and he defended it. He defended that city during the days of Nehemiah in marvelous ways. And it was likely on these occasions that the Psalm 80, 48 was written, and I want to read this psalm. Psalm 48. "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings have assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Even forevermore, the Tanakh says. Here it talks about, Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is called the city of our God. It is called the mountain of His holiness. It is called beautiful for situation or in its elevation. It's a beautiful place. It says the joy of the whole earth. It could be referring to simply the joy of the land of Jerusalem, of the land of Israel, or it could be referring to the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king? The temples stood on the north side of the city. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the north side, the city of the great king. And so it talks about it as the city of the great king. It talks about it as the city of the Lord of hosts, the city of our God. It calls it Zion. And it says, walk around it and admire it. It's beautiful. Notice its towers, its citadels, its defenses, its walls, and glory in it. It was the place that God had chosen, and they were rejoicing. They were rejoicing in it. In Psalm 137, verse 5, it calls it a city which is loved. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. He describes how that Jerusalem was his chief joy. Because that is where, yes, that is where God had chosen to place his name. It was a place that was loved by the people. It was a place of referred to as the perfection of beauty, and this is talked about, is called that in reflection, as Jeremiah looked back on what it had been. There in Lamentations 2, verse 15, lamenting over the destruction of Jerusalem. All that passed by clapped their hands at thee. They hiss and wagged their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? It was destroyed at that point. Is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the city of God? Jerusalem, of course, wasn't always the place where God had placed his name. Just looking at Jerusalem and its history, just briefly, we can't spend a lot of time here. I believe it's first mentioned in Genesis 14, verse 18, when, well, I'll read the verse, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, the king of Salem, Jerusalem, Salem. He was the king of Jerusalem. It says here, king of Salem, is referring to the place, the city of Jerusalem. That was, of course, in Abraham's time. Just skipping forward to the book of Joshua, in Joshua 15, verse 63, it talks about Jerusalem again. And it says, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwelt with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. The Jebusites had the city of Jerusalem, and the children of Judah weren't able to drive them out. And so the Jebusites had the city of Jerusalem, were dwelling there with the children of Judah at the time that that was written. Now, moving forward to 2 Samuel 5, verse 6, and reading a number of verses here. This is when David took the city from the Jebusites. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in thither, thinking David cannot come in thither. That may be trying to say, thou shalt not come up thither, but the lame and the blind will drive you away. We have this city so well defended, we are not afraid of you coming and trying to get the city, because even the lame and the blind can keep you out. Okay? Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. And David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. Again, that sounds difficult. It's a little bit difficult to understand. But it's probably saying, because they had said, even the lame and the blind, David shall not come into the house or into the fort. But verse 9, so David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Millo and inward. And so here we see David capturing the city of David, or Jerusalem, and he made it his capital. He made it his capital, and God blessed David, and we see how God chose the city of David, the city of Jerusalem, for where he was placing, where he placed his name. How that came about, I'm going to suggest, I believe it came about there when David numbered Israel, and that death angel was, you choose what your punishment is, and he said, I'll just accept 3 days from, I'll just, 3 days of punishment from God, and look to God for mercy. And when the death angel was there approaching the city of Jerusalem, God said to withhold his hand and talk with David at that point. And there in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 28, it says, and at that time, when David saw the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. And moving on to 22, verse 1, then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. God said, you buy that, you buy, you, You go and buy that threshing floor that Ornan has, and there you offer a sacrifice. And I will accept you, and I will forgive you. And that's what he did. And David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And so we have God choosing Jerusalem as the place where he would place his name. And again in 2 Chronicles 6 verse 5, "Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be ruler over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel." I'd read those verses earlier, as Solomon said. This is the place that God has chosen. Now, Jerusalem fell twice. That Jerusalem fell. What the armies of the heathen could not do, sin in the midst of Israel could. And when they served the Lord, God defended that city and it could not be conquered. But when they didn't serve the Lord, and when they, well, let's just read what happened in 2 Kings 21, verse 10. "And the Lord spake by his servant the prophet, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger, because since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he hath filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord." Here he said, because of the sin of Manasseh, because of the rebellion of the children of Israel, from the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I'm going to bring a judgment upon them. I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will wipe it clean. And I will turn it to the side, and I will make sure it is perfectly clean, perfectly wiped away, because they filled Jerusalem from one end to the other with iniquity and with blood. Ezekiel talked about it. I'm going to read a few verses from Ezekiel 5, verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. And I have changed, and she hath changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. For they have refused my judgments and my statutes. They have not walked in them." Verse 7, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, ye multiplied more than the nations that are round about you, and have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgments, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against thee, and will execute judgments in the midst of thee in the sight of the nations, and I will do in thee that which I have not done, and whereunto I have not done any more the like, because of all thine abominations. Therefore the fathers shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgment in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into all the winds."
Because they turned their back on God. You know, they said, I don't know which book this is, but they said, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. They said, God's temple is here. And we don't need to be afraid of, we don't need to be afraid of God's judgment. We don't need to be afraid of being destroyed because God's temple is here. That is not our, because that was not their security. They needed to have their security in God because they were following after God, because they were obedient to God, and not because of the building of the temple there that was in their midst. They needed to love God. And they failed to do that. They turned away from Him. And God destroyed Jerusalem because of her sin, because of her wickedness, because of her rejection of God. He carried Judah away captive, utterly destroyed the city, destroyed it the first time, and carried them away to Babylon. And we know how God brought them back. God put it in the heart of Cyrus. God said, there's going to be a man. I'm going to tell you his name. His name is Cyrus. And he is going to tell you to return. That was before Cyrus was born. But God raised up a man named Cyrus, and when he became the ruler of Babylon and Persia, God moved in his heart and he said, I make a decree that those Jews that we have carried away captive, that they go back to, they may go back to Jerusalem. They may go back. And they shall build a temple to God. That's what God can do. Jerusalem was destroyed again. Jesus prophesied that Jerusalem would be destroyed a second time. And 40 years after that prophecy, because they had rejected Jesus, the Son of God, it was destroyed again. In Luke 19, verse 41. This is as Jesus is approaching Jerusalem. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes, for the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. The Jews could not comprehend this. He said, they wouldn't leave one stone upon another. But that happened. Jesus was the express image of His person. He was the very image of God, and He lived and dwelt among them. And we crucified Him. Oh, but that we would know who He is. And that we would be able to recognize who He is when He comes close to us. When He comes near. And He walks close to us today. And we will bump into Him. And what will we do with Him? Will we also turn our back on Him? Crucify Him. And as much as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And He said, the day is going to come, they're going to build a trench, they're going to dig a trench around you, and they're going to lay even with the ground. And they're not going to leave one stone upon another. Titus, a Roman general, I'm going to call him a Roman general, he utterly destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and when the emperor wanted to honor him with his victory, for his victory, he said, no, don't honor me. That was an act of Almighty God bringing judgment on His people. Many, many Jews perished in this destruction. Josephus says there was over 1 million of them. People debate that. But it was many, many Jews perished in the destruction of Jerusalem. There is no doubt about it. But not one Christian died in that destruction. The Jews came up to Jerusalem for the Passover. And when they got there, there was Titus. And he had the city surrounded. And they said, "We came because we want to honor the Passover. May we go in?" And he said, "Yes, you may go in." And they went in. But he would not let them out. And there they perished. But no Christian died. And why was that? Because they believed the words of Jesus. In Luke 21, verse 20, Jesus had told them, said, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let them not And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Now, another Roman general had come up against Jerusalem, but he had withdrawn. And when that happened, he came up around Jerusalem, but he had withdrawn. I forget the reason why. And withdrawn his to try to conquer Jerusalem, just shortly before Titus came to do it, and then it says, "And when shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." Then let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And he says, let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. Don't go in. So the Christians left Jerusalem. And they didn't try to get back in when they had opportunity. Because these are the days of vengeance. There were many Christians that perished during that time of judgment. That said, they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down to the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We too need to take his prophecies to heart, because Jerusalem still has a future. And back in the 1700s, or maybe the early 1800s, when Thomas Scott read this passage, he said, "And at that time, Jerusalem was desolate. It was just, it was nothing. A few people living there." He said, "The times of the Gentiles seem to signify the times during which the Gentiles are permitted to keep possession of Jerusalem. Namely, till the Jews be converted to Christ, then their times will be fulfilled. Probably the Jews will be restored to their own land, and vengeance will be taken on those who oppose their return." As he read this passage, he said, that looks like the Jews are going to get Jerusalem back again. Thomas Hawes also, during the late 1700s, early 1800s, he wrote this as he read this passage. "While their once glorious city, raised from the foundations, should long lie in ruins and never be restored to its former grandeur, but continue under the power of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. When the fullness of them in the last days being come in, we have hope that Israel shall again be gathered, and Jerusalem, as some suppose, be again restored and inhabited by the Jewish converts. They read this passage and they said, looks like Jerusalem will be restored again to the Jews. We know what happened in 1948 when Israel again became a nation. A miracle. Jerusalem and its future. Jerusalem has a future still today. Just read a few words from Jeremiah 3, verse 14 through 19. Jeremiah 3, 14 through 19. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart that shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, that they shall say no more of the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall it be remembered, neither shall they visit it, nor shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto their fathers. But I said, what shall I put thee? How shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land and a goodly heritage in the host of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father and shalt no more turn away from me. How is this going to happen? Because you're going to turn to me and you're going to call me my father. Instead of rebelling against me, instead of having this stiff-necked heart, you're going to turn to me and call me my father. And you're not going to turn anymore away from me. Yes, today Jerusalem is again a Jewish city, just like God said. And it is not all that God intends for it to be, but it does have a glorious future. Again, I'll read from Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 10 through 17. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, but for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place, which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof, shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, and the places around Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah shall flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them. Thus saith the Lord, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. I'll stop there. But he said, I am going to fulfill the promises which I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. I will perform that good thing, and I will cause the righteous branch to grow up before him, and he will execute judgment and righteousness in the land, and Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Ezekiel describes a temple that we have never seen. And at the end of that description, and it says, it was round about 18,000 measures, talking about the temple. It says, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Talking about the temple and the city where of Jerusalem. Say, the Lord is there. And we know how Zechariah talks about how the Lord is going to come. He's going to gather the nations against Jerusalem, and and they're going to fight against Jerusalem, and he's going to come, and he's going to plant his feet on the Mount of Olives over there on that hill, just on the other side of Jerusalem, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And he's going to come and all the saints with him, and there's going to be living water coming out of Jerusalem. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. That is yet to come. They look forward to that time. And I believe we too can look forward to that time. And I'm going to read just a few verses from Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah talked about the destruction of Jerusalem, but he also talked about its glory. Isaiah 2, verse 1, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. He talks about the glory of that time when the nations will come and view the glory of Jerusalem and the glory of Zion, and how he will rule there. And out of Jerusalem shall go forth his law, and he will guide and direct the world. God offers us these things. Let's look lastly at Jerusalem, city of the people of God. Then we'll read from Revelation 21. A few verses there, starting with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem that God has prepared for His people. And it's like we thought about earlier this morning, it is beyond what we can understand. And we know how it describes it as the streets are of gold. It's kind of like when the Queen of Sheba brought all that fine gold to Solomon, and he didn't ask her, he didn't tell her, we don't need any more stones, right? Because they had silver and gold was like stones in Jerusalem. But he didn't say, oh, we have enough stones. No, he received it graciously. What can we offer to him? Gold? He has all the gold. The streets are all gold. What can we offer him? And yet, we can give him our affection. We can give him our heart, and he'll give us all the desires of our heart. That is so beautiful. And we need to look forward to that time. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country once they came out, they might have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. And we need to have within our hearts that desire to be able to experience that country that God is preparing for His people, and that city that God is preparing for His city. It's that for His people. It's that new Jerusalem that He is preparing for His people. And we want to dwell there. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. O Jerusalem is built as a city that is compacted together. And he says, King Jesus only says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Jesus told his people. Jesus told the people there in Revelation 3, verse 12. He said, he that overcometh will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is, yes, that's the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. So I'm going to write my name and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, upon you. It comes out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. We have the hope of being able to live in that beautiful city of the New Jerusalem, where God has placed himself, and where God has placed his name, and where God shall place his people. And so we have Jerusalem, a city of God, a special and a chosen city of God. We have Jerusalem, and we have its history, and we have Abraham going up there to Jerusalem with his son. It wasn't a town then. He went up to Mount Moriah, and there he offered Isaac. And there is where God told David to build the temple, and there the sacrifices were accomplished. And there the Lamb of God was. And that is where he paid the price for our redemption, there in Jerusalem. Yes, Isaac was offered there. The temple was built there. And Jesus was offered there in Jerusalem, at Jerusalem. We have the fall of Jerusalem because they rejected their God, they rejected His holy law, they rejected their Creator, they rejected their Savior, and they were destroyed. And we can be assured that if we reject our God, if we reject our His holy law, and if we reject our Creator, that we are going to be destroyed as well. We need to have our confidence in God and in His Word because it is true. And therefore, we reject Babylon and we embrace Jerusalem. We reject critical theory. We reject immorality. We reject the confusion of transgenderism and such like. We reject humanism. We reject evolution. We reject abortion. We reject the exaltation of man. And we embrace the truth and integrity and humility and the glory of becoming subject one to another and loving one another. And we follow the ways of God. And He has promised to us a city, His city. Jerusalem has a future. There is a future for Jerusalem, God's city, and it's glorious. Babylon, the city of Lucifer, will be destroyed. The psalmist says in Psalm 2. Psalm 1 is beautiful. What an introduction. What a foundation for life, Psalm 1. But Psalm 2 is beautiful. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. And how they set themselves in array against God and against His purposes. But God says there in Psalm 2, yet have I set my king upon that holy hill of Zion. God will triumph in His program. Jerusalem is the city of the people of God. God wants us in His city. God wants us to experience His glory. He wants us to experience the exceeding riches of His love and His grace forever. Because Jesus has conquered death, and we can experience the gift of eternal life through Him. And I want to be a part of that beautiful city. And I thank God that I can, through the work of Jesus Christ. For Zion's sake, this is Isaiah 62, verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as the brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. And they shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be buried. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye shall make mention of the Lord. Keep not silence, and give Him no rest till He establish and until He make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Let's kneel for prayer.